It's the D-O-double-G, the road dog, Jesse James. And by my side, as always, is that B-A-double-D-A, double crooked letter, badass Billy Gunn. Together we are the New Age Outlaws. And you're listening to the VOC Nation. And if you ain't down with that, he's got two words for you. Suck it.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, who you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer The Maestro, Wes Brisco, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and of course, In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. And by the way, both of these shows take callers live during the show. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter, too, at VOC Nation.
Hey, this is Total Package, Lex Luger, and you're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Kazzy Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there, too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into like snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Ken Resnick.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airline cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could find?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Taylor, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Stadium Journey, the worldwide leader in stadium reviews for the traveling sports fan, is proud to present the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation. Join us as we talk with prominent figures from around the sports world to discuss issues pertaining to sports travel and stadiums around the globe. New episodes air on VOC Nation Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Join Paul Baker, Dave Cartney, Mark Viquez, Dan Calchico, and guests from throughout the sports world on the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out, WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Rock and Roll Union and North Step Productions, in conjunction with Boo Ray Atlantic City, proudly present Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th, featuring As We Become Ghosts and Rat Rod. It's been a long, cold winter, and now it's time to rock. Also appearing, the Rock and Roll Union house band, Shades of Grey, playing all of your favorites from the 60s to now. All COVID regulations will be in place. Tickets are available at Eventbrite.com and are extremely limited, so get them before they run out. Doors open at 6 and showtime is at 7. Rat Rod, As We Become Ghosts, and Shades of Grey. Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th at Boo Ray, 201 South New York Avenue, Atlantic City. Did I mention there's free parking? Don't miss it.
Yo, this is Jerry Stein of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs here. You getting ready to get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mother. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute, you're listening to VOC Nation Worldwide.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer Wes Crisco, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. Both shows take callers live during the show, and recent guests have included General Adnan, Tito Santana, Haku, Earl Hebner, Danger Sandy Davis, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Brodus Clay, and so many more. Archive-free content includes past interviews with huge...
Hello once again, everyone. It's Mike Tenay from TNA Wrestling, and welcome to In the Room. Here's Brady, Kathy, The Stro, Jordan, and Derek.
Nothing to rearrange. Sometimes you just get a feeling like you need some kind of change. No matter what the odds are this time.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're back. We're live. We're on the air. It's In the Room on the VOC Nation Radio Network at VOCNation.com. Brady Hicks here, the whole cast and crew, minus Derek, will be on in a little bit. Everybody's here, and we are so excited to talk with you guys. Lots of exciting stuff going on in the world of wrestling. But before we get to all that, let me introduce the lovely Kathy Fitz. What's going on, Kathy?
Hello, Brady. How are you tonight?
Hello. I'm all right. I'm doing good. I'm feeling good. You know, I'm a little tired, but it's okay. I'm drinking enough caffeine, Cassie, that I think I can keep an elephant up into the middle of the night tonight. So it'll be interesting for sure. Certainly tomorrow will be interesting. Also joining us, the one and only maestro of professional wrestling, Papa Stro. What's up, buddy?
Great to be here with you guys. You know, I always love that song you play every now and then to kickstart the show. It sounds like one of those commercials where they're selling something, but they give me all the side effects. It's like, but be cautious for stuffy nose, extra head, scaly skin. And
I love it. And you got to watch out for the side effects with this show, for sure. So, and there's many of them. They're not all on the label. What's going on, Matt Grimm? How you doing, man?
I'm fine. I haven't grown a third testicle yet from being on this show, so I think I'm okay.
Oh, geez, that must just be me now.
Oh, Matt.
It actually caused mine to go inverted, Matt, for some reason. I'm only kidding.
That is not a situation you want to find yourself in.
No. And last but certainly not least, following up the inverted testicle, Ray Bogus. What's going on, Ray?
If you're suffering from seasonal allergies, ask your doctor about flomazepam. Side effects may include drowsiness, lack of sleep, pancreatic cancer, and HIV.
Oh, wow.
You should consider all risks before using this product.
It sounds like you've worked for the big pharma in the past.
Right. Like, at that point, you're just going, like, hell yeah, sign me up.
Oh, man.
So nothing a line of sugar can't cure, Kathy, you know? Line of sugar. 914-338-1885.
That's Scarface.
Yeah. Actually, that's one of my favorite, you know, I want it for an ugly sweater party. They have Scarface, and he's sitting on the desk, and he says he wants to build a snowman, and he's got the piles of snow everywhere, Kathy. It's amazing. I definitely want it, but I haven't laid out the money for it yet. 914-338-1885 is the number to get in touch with us here tonight, and we definitely want to take your calls. We're going to go to the phone lines, as Chip Kelly would say, early and often, so be on the lookout for that. I also gave you guys a bit of a challenge this week, and I'm not sure exactly who took me up on it, but the idea that I had was that everybody on the panel kind of come in hot with their own topic, you know, hot topic, Kathy. And I think it could be a really good thing. I think it's going to spur some discussion and help with those lulls. Not that I expect necessarily a lot of lulls tonight, because we have a new WWE champion, Kathy. Bobby Lashley winning the title last night. By and large, I think people are really excited about it.
Yep.
I'm excited. I'm
excited. I mean, you can see that, like, it just feels like a breath of fresh air.
I got to tell you, if you had come to me when I came back and started doing the show again, and you had said, hey, Ray, a couple of months, really almost a year, over a year since you started doing the show again, we're going to lead off the show, and Bobby Lashley winning the WWE title is going to be described as, quote, a breath of fresh air. I would have looked at you and said, no, you are a crazy person.
Right.
But that's a good way to describe it. It is. And I think it's less that it's a face we haven't seen with a belt for a while, and more that it makes WrestleMania a lot more interesting.
Oh, for sure. Matt, we were talking about it for the last couple months, and it just didn't feel like anybody was really in that spot to challenge Drew McIntyre going into WrestleMania this year, you know, and all of a sudden they've got this monster that, like, I'm not even sure Drew should win the belt back yet, Matt, because I really like Bobby Lashley as champion, and I think a lot of other people are as well.
Yeah, I like the idea. I just wish that the timing was better with all of this. I wish he had won the belt maybe at, like, Survivor Series or something.
Yeah.
Instead of at this point. That at least would have given him a few months with it. Because I don't know what they're going to do, but look, I mean, most of the time, WrestleMania ends with the good guy standing on top, so I think there's a chance that Lashley's reign isn't going to last very long.
You know what? It might not. That's actually something that I wanted to talk about tonight, but that'll be my topic. That'll be later on in the show. Matt, you had a really compelling one, and I wanted to definitely dive right in with it, because you don't get a lot of time. Go for it, man.
That's fine. So, away from WWE for a couple minutes here, on Saturday night, AEW is having a match for their championship between Kenny Omega and Jon Moxley, and it's not just any old match. It is an exploding barbed wire death match.
Yeah, I heard it was
normally
going to be
the province of – yeah, literally. I guess, like, this is what I'm wondering is this too much? Are American audiences too, I don't know what the right word is, prudish for a match like this? Is this a relic of a bygone era and something that is more acceptable in a place like Japan? Or is this kind of going to represent a shift in what Americans kind of expect from pro wrestling, or something in the middle?
I think they're certainly trying to make it a shift, for sure. You know, they're taking a lot of these guys who made names for themselves in Japan and throwing them in kind of a foreign environment that American, at least mainstream American fans aren't necessarily used to. And I say mainstream, of course, because there is a niche following for ultra-hardcore, ultra-violent stuff. I've seen it firsthand in the Philadelphia area, even though I'm not really a fan of it. So, I'll say this. Ray, back in the day with ECW, you know, the knock on them was they're not really favorable to a mainstream audience, a national audience here in the U.S. And I got to think this is a huge chance that AEW is taking doing something like this.
So I think it's a huge chance for two reasons. And, I mean, I suppose when you take a risk, you make some kind of calculation. Unless, you know, unless you're TNA and then you're just sort of taking a risk that you take a risk. To me, the big downside of this is twofold. Number one, it's interesting. Well, I suppose number one, I don't think it's that American audiences are necessarily too prudish for this. But I don't think AEW is at a point where they don't necessarily need that shock factor. They need to bring people in. And I think when you have the established audience, it's okay to do this. But I'm not necessarily sure that when you're trying to get more eyes on your product, that you can that you necessarily want to take this kind of risk. At least I wouldn't. But hey, I'm not in the, you know, I'm doing that because I come on the show and talk about it with you guys. I don't have my own promotion to run.
Mm-hmm.
Something Matt said, and then a comparison that you made, I think is probably the bigger issue here, is that I just don't think it has the gravitas that it did before. And Matt specifically said that it's kind of a relic of a bygone era. The thing is that I think part of what made this stuff work, these sort of extreme matches work in ECW and then to a lesser extent in WCW and then in an even lesser extent what was then the WWF, was kind of like the whole aesthetic of the 90s, where like the shock was that this was something so foreign, and it was the entire spectacle was sort of in and of itself bigger than life and bigger than everything around you. Whereas now it's just not. It doesn't diminish wrestling as a product at all. It's still something to be watched and valued and loved and cherished. But the reality that these are somehow just these larger than life people, we're in an era where that's no longer true. And when you have characters that are larger than life, that are somehow bigger than yourself, those are compelling heroic figures.
Yeah.
When they're not, when they don't fit that mold, and I don't want this to sound like I'm just trashing people who wrestle or who do this, because I'm not. But when you do this kind of match, you're not a compelling heroic figure. You're a hillbilly beating another hillbilly with a piece of razor wire.
That explodes. Stroh, have you ever been in an environment like this?
Well, I'll tell you a funny story real quick what happened.
Yeah, yeah.
I was ringside in the corner watching this match. It's like this extreme style match where they had like weed whackers and stuff and exploding this and that. It was totally insane. So, but I wasn't even in the match. I was just standing there, right? And all of a sudden they broke out the fluorescent bulbs, right? Started whacking each other with that, right? And the wave of glass hit me, right?
Yeah.
And next thing you know, I'm looking at myself. I got blood all over me, and I'm so PO'd, right?
Yeah.
So I walk in there and just start trashing them, you know, just beating the crap wherever I could, right?
I'd be so mad.
You know, and then this young boy, this green guy, at ringside, right, was petrified because he's seen everything going off and everything. He's never been in a match like that before, and they put him in there without him any experience knowing what to do, right? So I went outside, grabbed a young guy, and I said, "Stick with me, kid. You know, just hang on to me. I'll get you to the back," right? So I'm firing, carrying him through all the debris to the back because I didn't want him to get hurt, right? So it was tough.
Crazy, Matt. Jeez. It's garbage. That's what I told Steve last week. I think it's garbage. I don't understand why a mainstream company would. I'm not trying to knock people that do this, Matt. But I don't care for it. I don't care for it at all. I probably won't watch it.
Yeah, I don't know if it's like I'm getting older or what, but this, I don't really want to see these two guys kill themselves doing this.
No.
Or each other, for that matter.
You know, you know that John Moxley's going to end up looking like, God, what's that superhero? The one with the funny comments. God, I'm getting so friggin' old, I can't remember anything anymore. My brain has turned to
Star-Lord.
Deadpool. Yes, Deadpool. That's what John Moxley's going to look like when this is over.
Just scarred up and in a mess.
Yeah, like a road map, Kathy.
And the poor little, and I, you know how I feel about blood matches. I can't stand them.
No.
There's really no.
Do you wish
no
you were a medic for this one, Kathy?
No.
Could be fun.
Doing an ECW and CZW's Tournament of Death. That was enough.
Kathy, what do you like better, quilting or sewing together human skin? I like quilting. Not that I'm good at it.
I use Thermabond.
So how is it working with Dr. Frankenstein?
I use Thermabond. It holds easier.
Okay. Speaking of, yeah, it does. It does. Speaking of being patched together, for those who are enjoying the video right now, they can see that Rat Boy logged in, and he is sporting a brand new smile, Matt. He got his new teeth in, so he'll be able to eat at 7-Eleven every night of the week now, and everything is on the menu, apparently, except for corn.
Well, imagine that.
Right. Thank you, Dr. Giggle.
Yes. Rat Boy, I'm going to send a super tough steak your way. We'll have you eat it while you're on the air.
No,
he's not. He's on board with that. I don't know why I'm making fun of him. My teeth are. I don't know why I'm making fun of him. My teeth are probably worse than his at this point.
Remember when Dallas Page had his done?
Yeah.
Simon Dallas Page had his. Yeah.
I remember the bling gimmick, you know? I loved it.
Yeah.
There was a guy who did not compete in a barbed wire exploding match.
Mm.
I can remember being front row for CZW early in my days with the magazine. And before I figured out that, Kathy, if I'm going to go to CZW, I don't want to sit in the front row. And
exactly.
They had that cage that was like had all these glass panels. Is it Cage
mm-hmm.
of Death or
yeah,
I think it's Cage
of
Death. And somebody got thrown from the top of the cage through like a glass panel, and there was glass and blood everywhere. It was horrible, Matt. It was like a nightmare.
Well, the one day I was the medic for the Tournament of Death for CZW.
Mm-hmm.
This guy got slashed open. No, this was down in Winslow Township.
Okay.
One of the guys got slashed open with something. I'm working on one guy. They're all over by the other guy, and the girl says, the girl that's helping me says, it's bad. I said, 1 to 10. She goes, 12. I said, ER, go.
Oh, no.
I said, oh, we have to get the tendon out of his head right now. And you know what the tendon
not
is. It's metal. It's a metal cap with all spikes on it.
Okay.
And it was in his head, and they had to pull it out with pliers.
Yeah, that was Masada, wasn't it?
Huh?
Wasn't that Masada used to do that?
Masada did, but this wasn't Masada.
Oh, okay. I got you. What the hell, did you get something from Amazon here?
The kid went to the ER, and the doctor went,
okay.
What the hell happened? Oh, I'm in a death match.
What can you say?
It was horrible. horrible.
Ask him if the hot dog was really good that day, because that's the only way I could figure that it's worth it.
All Angus beef hot dog.
Look at this. Ratboy's setting up Deadpool in the corner. Never one to be behind the trends. 914-338-1885 is the number to get in touch with us here tonight.
Be behind the trend. Yeah, Candy's description brings up an interesting point, and I think it kind of goes back to something that I talked about, and Matt talked about, and you talked about. I don't know that having an outcome like that is what you want to do if you're trying to get people to continue to be invested in your product, especially if you look at who's watching AEW.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you want kids to watch
AEW. Right, well, it's getting kids to watch it. You're getting a lot of guys who, you know, maybe haven't been, you know, watching wrestling for a while. And even if you thought this was something that could get a lot of extra eyeballs onto your product, I'm not 100% sure that you're going to reach your target market. I think it might drive away as much as it brings in. And then unless you're doing that regularly, you're not going to hold on to the people you bring in, so it's likely a net loss.
Hey, that'll be the next award winner for the Meltzer Awards.
Yeah.
Yeah.
18 stars.
AEW pretty much cleaned up, didn't they, Ray?
Yeah. Well, I want to talk about that tonight, too. Thank you for bringing that up. My God, talk about a PR firm, man. Stro, I was going to say, I clamor for the days of hardcore matches that involve Terry Funk hitting Norman Smiley over the head with a loaf of bread. Like, that was my cup of tea there. Do you remember that? That was Nitro at its finest.
Yeah.
A loaf of bread.
So entertaining.
Yeah. Strowman. Not even like one of those hard rye breads. You know?
Right.
You better watch that Wonder Bread will get you.
Oh, yeah. You're blind to the white.
You got to watch out. 914-338-1885. By the way, how about them awards? That's crazy. Like I saw that WWE, the only thing they got were like negative awards. You know? Like,
imagine that.
Yeah.
Imagine that.
Like, what the heck? Best booker of the year, Tony Khan. What is Tony Khan booking? Is he booking it?
Hotels.
I guess.
He's right up there with the gnome, right? Remember the gnome commercials? That
yeah. Travel
the
gnome.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, there's a lot of good stuff with AEW, and I think we're actually in for a treat this Wednesday, believe it or not, because I think the Shaquille O'Neal thing will probably be memorable. I don't know that it'll necessarily be good, but I think it'll be memorable, you know?
They
said it's going to be the best celebrity involvement ever. Matt, I don't know that anybody can ever beat Mike Tyson and what he did in his couple appearances, but they say it's going to be really good. So,
yeah,
I guess we'll see.
Yeah, we will see.
I wouldn't have had him fight Shaq, though. I mean, I wouldn't have had him fight Cody, though. I understand why they did, of course, because he is the second best booker last year.
Hang on. The best celebrity involvement ever. Hold on.
There's a lot of good stuff to sort through for that.
Now, hold on.
It's going to be tough to beat RoboCop, that's for sure.
Okay. Hold on. Okay. I don't care how you feel about the man and his politics. But there's a different company that can now lay claim legitimately to having had a United States president be involved with one of the matches.
Well,
and I just think...
He was just the president for it.
I just think that one, just like the gravitas of that one, I'm just spitballing here. I got to say that one's probably a little bit more memorable than Shaq.
But his stuff was awful, though. Like, the Trump stuff, I don't know. The haircut match was
stupid. Good.
He bought Raw. How dumb was that?
I'm talking about the WrestleMania.
Bobby Lashley has truly come a long way since then.
Yeah.
Bobby's come a long way.
You know what's funny is
Rock, remember?
Yeah, they had the faith in Bobby Lashley back then. That was, what, WrestleMania 23, I think?
Yeah,
right around there.
Is that about right? But that was a long time ago now. That was 14 years ago. And they knew it back then that Bobby Lashley was going to be something. I think they forgot it themselves for a little while. But it was great to see. Yeah, he did that match. And then nothing else. Matt, do you think real-life Donald Trump would have picked Bobby Lashley? I probably shouldn't go there.
You know what? You shouldn't, because I don't think you want to. I don't think you want to hear my answer. So.
Oh man, 914-338-1885. Like I said, for my money, the best celebrity involvement in wrestling has been Mike Tyson. Between the stuff that he did with Shawn Michaels, the stuff that he did with Stone Cold, and then, you know, the Chris Jericho stuff later. And then Chris Jericho again in AEW. I don't know. Like, I feel like it's really tough to beat Mike Tyson. The only one that I can really think of that might come close is Cyndi Lauper, just because of the role that she played.
Oh, yeah.
But Mike Tyson was so
connection.
Yeah, but Mike Tyson was so hands-on with it, you know?
Oh, yeah.
I can remember, Matt, we were in college, and they were showing it on SportsCenter.
Yeah, and that's all Vince McMahon has ever really wanted, is to have his stuff shown on, you know, on mainstream sports media. And he had it.
Yeah.
And
his work with Tyson and Austin and DX was really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And Ratboy brings up Andy Kaufman. Actually, Steve, the caller, brought him up last week as well. Yeah, I mean, that celebrity involvement, and certainly not to the scale that it is today, because I don't think that the majority of mainstream wrestling fans really know about Andy Kaufman or really kind of saw that angle unfold, except for that Man in the Moon movie. It was very cool, and it was very symbolic, and it was certainly very significant for wrestling. But I don't know necessarily that most fans really got to see it and enjoy that as it could have been. If that had been on WWE television, I think it would have been absolutely five times as big and probably would have been the biggest thing ever. But it was also ahead of its time, if you think about it. Like the stuff they were doing in Memphis – that just wouldn't fly in, like, the mid-80s WWF.
No.
But it was cool.
It was.
I mean, to this day, I want to wrestle all the women because of Andy Kaufman. I loved Andy Kaufman.
I don't think his alter ego would either. Tony Clifton. I don't think he would fly.
Tony Clifton, you just want to wrestle one person on that car, on that.
No, Kathy, I'm not that selective anymore. As I get older, I learn that. But yes, I would definitely welcome a match. I think it would be amazing. 914-338-1885. I bet you Meltzer would give it 3 stars. Yeah, so 914-338-1885. So, you know, lots to talk about tonight. As I was saying about Bobby Lashley, before we kind of dive into the next topic and everything, I feel like Bobby Lashley, the reaction that he got when he beat The Miz was so telling. Because I think, you know, when you're positioned as a bad guy and you're positioned as, like, the leader of the Hurt Business – and you've taken everybody else out, and everybody hates MVP, and it's like, Bobby Lashley, you know, I guess it was a manipulated reaction, but to me, it was a tremendous, what would have equated to a standing ovation with You Deserve It, had fans actually been there. That the reaction that he got, I have to assume it was somewhat authentic, at least a little bit, and it was absolutely amazing. And you don't really see that when two bad guys fight. It's very, very rare that you get that. So, I don't know. I'm starting to question now, maybe, should Bobby Lashley hold on to the title for a little bit and see how he does? And hold Drew McIntyre off for further down the line where there's maybe more than a couple thousand fans at WrestleMania. I don't know.
I'm down.
You want to see what he's got?
Set up a rematch for his SummerSlam. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I think he's got to defend it against Drew. I'm just saying maybe you hold off on having Drew win it. What were you going to say, Ray? I cut you off.
Oh, no, I was going to say, I think that works. I think the way you probably do that is you have, I think it's a very easy, you shoehorn in, and it wouldn't be that bad, you shoehorn in somebody else for McIntyre to feud with after WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Wherein that person somehow in a triple threat match costs McIntyre the ability to regain his title.
Okay. But who are you putting in there?
The thing is, I don't really suspect that it matters.
Okay.
I mean, you can't just
That's the hard truth.
Well, I'm just saying, you can't go down to the kennel. You can't. You can't go down to the kennel. And
no, because half of them are dead now, unfortunately, because they haven't fed them in years.
That's true. You can't go to any of the survivors in the kennel and just, like, dig. It has to be somebody, like, relatively meaningful that can that can do it. I don't know. I mean, that might be something to, like, come back from the commercial break for, and we can kind of – maybe that can kind of be what we do. Because I'd want to look at the roster and sort of see what would make sense.
Because in my opinion, the Raw roster is really thin, but we should definitely do that. Let's go to the phones, actually, and I'm going to go first to Tora because she was the first one on the line, which is so rare because she's usually the last one to call in. What's going on, Tora? How you doing, Toto?
I'm doing great.
You sound good. You sound clear-headed and so I guess it's early still.
Yeah, tomorrow is my birthday.
Happy birthday, Toto.
Happy birthday.
What, how old are you going to be? 26?
I wish. I'm going to be 42.
Well, that's exciting. Wow. Okay. I can't believe I'm older than you. That's, you sound like you'd be like my grandmother, but you're not, obviously. You're younger than me.
Yeah.
Have you been told you sound older? Mature. That's the word we use. Mature, Kathy.
Correct.
She sounds mature.
Mature.
Aw, thanks.
Yeah. No problem. So what's going on, Tor? Did you have a thought on the AEW barbed wire match? Is that something you would watch?
Yeah.
You don't care if, like, skin's getting ripped off? People with just their skeleton showing, you're okay with that?
As long as I'm not eating anything, I think I'd be okay.
Okay. See, I would have to eat. That's the only way to distract myself, you know?
Yeah.
What's a good food to eat during an exploding barbed wire match? I'm thinking like maybe like a stromboli.
Mm. Wow.
What would you eat? What would you, ribs. Rat Boy says ribs. That's a good one.
That's actually a solid one. Rat Boy usually doesn't bring anything.
Well, he's got teeth now. He's thinking like a people.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I would say...
Before it would have been oatmeal.
Or free milk.
Dumpster applesauce. I don't know. Now, do you think since it's exploding, do you think one of them will lose their hand or foot?
Probably.
Who do you think's going to lose something?
Who's
it's
in the
John
match?
Moxley and Kenny Omega. So it's Dean Ambrose and Kenny Omega.
Oh, that's a tough one.
I think Dean Ambrose is going to lose his hair.
You think so?
I do. I think it's going to explode right off.
Mm-mm.
Well, Tori, it's been fun.
Right.
Love you, Tora. Happy birthday.
Yeah, love you too. Thank you.
You going to send me a cool picture?
Yep.
You and Brianna and the cat?
Yep.
Okay. Love you, Tora.
Yep.
Have a good
love
one.
Love you too.
All right, bye-bye. 914-338-1885. What we're going to do, we'll take a real quick commercial break on the other side. We'll get some more callers on the line, hopefully. And Ray's still got to introduce a topic that I think is going to be very good. It's something that I'm personally very excited about. So, once again, 914-338-1885. It's In the Room on the VOC Nation Radio Network. And we will be back in just a couple minutes.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends, so for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcasts, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
This is Lance Storm, and if I can be serious for a minute, you're listening to VOC Nation worldwide.
VOC Nation is one of the longest-running wrestling podcast networks. Having started way back in 2010, VOC Nation provides daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with their hosts and guests via phone calls, emails, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts also include former backstage interviewer from both AWA and WWE, Ken Resnick, former WCW performer The Maestro, former Impact performer Wes Crisco, Pro Wrestling Illustrated contributor Brady Hicks, and former Philadelphia radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, and In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. Both shows take callers live during the show, and recent guests have included General Adnan, Tito Santana, Haku, Earl Hebner, Dangerous Danny Davis, Jimmy Hart, Ricky Steamboat, Brodus Clay, and so many more. Archive-free content includes past interviews with huge names like Hulk Hogan, Jesse Ventura, Kurt Angle, Sting, Mick Foley, Joey Styles, Howard Finkel, and so many more. Listen live at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all the podcasts by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. And be sure to follow these guys on Twitter at VOC Nation.
Hola, this is your amiga, Shelly from Cali, to let you know you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests. Sometimes I let you on in the cheese mess, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists and more.
This is a Swifter, the Doctor of Style, and you're listening to VOC Nation.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Cavi Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into, like, snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Ken Resnick.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airlines cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have cried?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Taylor, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Stadium Journey, the worldwide leader in stadium reviews for the traveling sports fan, is proud to present the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation. Join us as we talk with prominent figures from around the sports world to discuss issues pertaining to sports travel and stadiums around the globe. New episodes air on VOC Nation Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Join Paul Baker, Dave Cartney, Mark Viquez, Dan Calachico, and guests from throughout the sports world on the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation.
On Wrestling with Problems, we deal with two things, wrestling and problems. On the wrestling side, we cover the major feds as well as the indies. As far as problems go, we cover our problems, American problems, and world problems. Sometimes the problems are even related to wrestling. Every week, comedian King David Lane and wrestler, promoter Chris Best discuss the best and especially the worst in the world of wrestling with a heaping dose of comedy. Check us out live on VOCNation.com or on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls and looking back on an incredible career of acting, entertaining, and wrestling. Check it out, VOCNation.com, WCW Retro. Be sure to call in Thursday nights, 9 Eastern, on the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Yo, this is Jerry Stagg of the Nasty Boys. Yeah, Brian Knobs, yeah, you get nasty? Well, listen to the VOC Nation, baby, because it's about to get nasty all around and up in this mama. Get ready. Nasty Sensation is coming at you.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
This is Matt Hardy, and you are listening to the VOC Nation.
Rock and Roll Union and North Step Productions, in conjunction with Boo Ray Atlantic City, proudly present Jersey Shore Jam 2. May 15th, featuring As We Become Ghosts and Rat Rod. It's been a long, cold winter, and now it's time to rock. Also appearing, the Rock and Roll Union house band, Shades of Grey, playing all of your favorites from the 60s to now. All COVID regulations will be in place. Tickets are available at Eventbrite.com and are extremely limited, so get them before they run out. Doors open at 6 and showtime is at 7. Rat Rod, As We Become Ghosts, and Shades of Grey. Jersey Shore Jam 2, May 15th at Boo Ray, 201 South New York Avenue, Atlantic City. Did I mention there's free parking? Don't miss it.
Rock and Roll Union for the past 2 years has been the place for rock and roll, new rock and roll, debuting rock and roll, and some of the old classics as well. We have welcomed guests from around the world, national artists, and more. We have excited many people by our live events. We've welcomed everybody into the fold, and we continue to do so on a weekly basis. Guys, that is Rock and Roll Union, and that is what we do for you.
Saturdays, 6 p.m. Eastern, VOCNation.com.
Since 2012, HIAC Talk Radio has been bringing you the best of independent wrestling and wrestling on the worldwide scale with interviews and other segments, now featuring The Wrestling Historian with Craig Ligon every Thursday night at 6 p.m. at VOCNation.com, or go to your Android or iPhone and type in VOC Nation Radio Network and subscribe to the greatest wrestling podcast network in the world. Listen to HIAC Wrestling Podcast today.
VOC Nation provides live daily streaming shows where fans have the ability to interact with the hosts and guests by phone call, email, and Twitter. VOC Nation hosts include the legendary Ken Resnick, who you probably remember from the AWA and WWE, former WCW performer The Maestro, Wes Briscoe, who you probably remember from Impact, Brady Hicks, who you remember from Pro Wrestling Illustrated, former WWE and TNA star Shelly Martinez, and former Philly radio personality Bruce Wirt. VOC Nation's two most popular shows are Wrestling with History, featuring Ken Resnick and Bruce Wirt, streaming live on Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern, and of course In the Room, featuring Pro Wrestling Illustrated's Brady Hicks and WCW alum The Maestro. And by the way, both of these shows take callers live during the show. What are you waiting for? Go listen live right now at VOCNation.com and subscribe to all of our podcasts by searching for VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app. Oh, and follow them on Twitter, too, at VOC Nation.
Hola, this is your amiga, Shelly from Cali, to let you know you can catch me here on VOC Nation for Shelly Live. You never know what the hell I'm going to be talking about. Sometimes I have guests. Sometimes I let you on in the cheese mess, spill a little tea. Sometimes I cry. You have to tune in to find out why. And I also take your calls. I love chatting with you guys and seeing what the hell you guys are thinking. So meet me here on the VOC Nation. Be there or be square.
The worldwide leader in entertainment. This is the VOC Nation Radio Network.
Hey, this is Total Package, Lex Luger. You're listening to the VOC Nation. Don't miss out.
Check out In the Room
every Tuesday night at 9. Listen in.
Pro Wrestling Illustrated, Brady Hicks, former WCW star Stro Maestro, Cassie Fist, Matt Grimm.
And you and Ray are there too, right, Ray?
We sure are, and we've got great guests like Lex Luger, AJ Styles, Taku, and more. It's a heck of a party. Plus,
I didn't get thrown off buildings.
And then
I didn't get pregnant either.
Sometimes I think it gets so ridiculous.
We were getting into, like, snuff film territory there.
In the Room.
9 p.m. Eastern on VOC Nation.
Wrestling with History, the voice of choice, and Killer Ken Resnick.
When I die, they're going to open me up and find about 2,000 undigested Northwest Airlines cheese omelets.
Mr. Chris Cruz, what's going on?
Jesus, how did I get roped into this?
General Adnan went to school with Saddam Hussein.
He cried, I cried, he cried, and who could have cried?
Adnan lost a lot of family in the Iraqi war.
Everybody loves Granny.
Wow. Yeah, see, a lot of people don't know that.
Yes, Taylor, you guys are busting me up.
Catch Wrestling with History with Ken Resnick and I live on VOCNation.com Wednesday nights at 9:30 Eastern Time, or listen to the podcast by searching VOC Nation Radio Network on your favorite podcast app.
Stadium Journey, the worldwide leader in stadium reviews for the traveling sports fan, is proud to present the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation. Join us as we talk with prominent figures from around the sports world to discuss issues pertaining to sports travel and stadiums around the globe. New episodes air on VOC Nation Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Join Paul Baker, Dave Cartney, Mark Viquez, Dan Calachico, and guests from throughout the sports world on the Stadium Journey podcast on VOC Nation.
Each and every Thursday night, check it out. WCW star Stro Maestro takes you on a journey. It's WCW Retro, talking old school match of the week, talking dream matches, taking your calls, and looking back on an incredible career of acting,
entertainment. I found out long ago.
All right, 914-338-1885. It's in the room on the VOC Nation Radio Network. We are live and we're taking your calls right now, so be sure to call in. Again, 914-338-1885. It's Brady, I've got Stroh, I've got Kathy, I've got Ray. We've got Rat Boy waiting in the wings, and we're waiting to talk to you guys as well. So be sure to call in. You can be second one in the queue right now. And we were having a lively discussion, and as I mentioned, kind of to kick off the show, we're opening up what I did last week is I kind of opened it up where the different hosts could introduce their own topics to the show. I thought it would help conversations flow and kind of spark discussion. It's been nothing short of amazing. We got a lot of stuff on the docket right now, and we're going to get to it in 1 second. But before that, Stroh, what do you got going on this week, man, besides the dancing, the fine dancing?
Oh, I'm telling you. Dance! Okay. Well, it's going to be a busy week. Look, tomorrow night, I'm going to be a special guest on the Funny Enterprises podcast with Dream World Wrestling, and it'll be at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and to listen in, you can go to xwwradionetwork.com to listen on the podcast. Thursday night, of course, WCW Retro, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on VOC Nation, and the topic we'll be discussing the career of Ricky the Dragon Steamboat Thursday night. And then Friday night on my hard sci-fi show, The Stroh Zone, on my official Facebook page, facebook.com/Stroh, the Maestro, at 12 midnight. The feature will be none other than Spider Baby.
Spider Baby.
Long Chaney Jr.
I used to date her in college.
Oh, stop.
Oh, man. So, anyway, as I said, 914-338-1885.
Did we lose?
We didn't lose anybody. We got another.
Let's see here.
There we go.
Yeah, there we go.
Hey, Brady.
Hey,
yeah,
Brady.
Sorry about that. Sorry about
brother.
That. I don't know. For some reason, I went to mute the caller, and it muted me. I don't know. But anyway.
Go figure, right?
That'll happen.
That's karma for all the times I've talked over people or whatever. So, Ray, before we dip into the callers, we were talking about potential challengers on Raw. And I feel like it's a very thin list, but you said you were able to dig up a couple of names.
So I was, and for those maybe who are just joining or who skipped ahead, and if you skipped ahead, shame on you. That first 51 minutes was actually a very, very good portion of the show. The premise is we're all very happy that Lashley won the belt. We think it's a breath of fresh air, and we really think it's a good, positive move. But we kind of like to see Lashley be able to hold on to the belt without necessarily damaging the McIntyre brand.
Mm-hmm.
And so the trick is, who can you slide into that WrestleMania match
slide
to make it a three-way match
slide
to cost McIntyre the belt and feud with them for a little while until one of your more major pay-per-views, likely SummerSlam, where you kind of, you know, you get to have your real big match with Lashley versus McIntyre. And hopefully at that point the real fans in there, and you kind of go from there. And I was able to find three people that could kind of fit that, I don't want to say mold, but like they could fit the criteria. So it has to be somebody that's important enough to be believable, doesn't really suffer a lot of damage from taking a loss, and could be an interesting kind of lull time feud for a little bit until you start really getting McIntyre and Lashley back on the same track. So, up first, why not Braun Strowman? I mean, if you just need somebody to be in there and kill time.
Yeah. I mean, listen, he was good enough to step in and fill in for Roman Reigns last year at WrestleMania. I didn't feel like the Goldberg match, I mean, it wasn't a great match, But he certainly more than held up his end of a really crappy match. I mean, I like him. I think the fans are still somewhat behind him. He's a guy that you tend to forget about.
For sure. And the thing is, you don't need him to be – if you're going to slide him in there, you don't need him to carry the match. The match is obviously Lashley versus McIntyre. You just need somebody to be in there to, be believable as an opponent and take a fall. That's really all you need, and you can get away with that. Number two, why not Jinder Mahal? A loss doesn't really do anything.
Jinder Mahal, wow. Okay. I mean, that would have to be out of nowhere. He hasn't done anything in a while.
I know, but think about it. A loss doesn't really do anything. He's kind of a believable guy. He could be interesting for, May and June.
Yeah.
That's really what you're looking to be interesting for. And then the last one I thought, this would be another one that's kind of out of nowhere. Why not have Samoa Joe? A loss does absolutely nothing to Joe.
In fact, he'll probably go right back to the booth.
Yeah, put him in there. You could almost do basically a little bit bigger, more compelling version of what you did years ago with Miz and Waller. Joe can go right back to the booth.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be my least preferable of the three, but
I could see that.
I don't get Rampway's holding at the time this is Sheamus or Keith Lee. I suppose Sheamus, although I don't necessarily think that he's a believable opponent at this point.
No. I mean, I'm not.
Keith Lee's a no. That's a no.
Keith Lee, I wouldn't want to.
A loss hurts him too much.
Yeah, although a loss to those guys, I'm not sure how much it would hurt them. But yeah, hurt him. Yeah, but what about Brock Lesnar? If you're looking to get him involved.
Do you think Lesnar wants to show up just to take the loss and then work some minor pay-per-views in the spring?
I mean, ching-ching.
I guess.
Ching-ching, bling-bling.
That would be nice, but I skipped over him because that's...
Twitter
wants to see it, apparently, because that's, been trending all over Twitter.
Has it really? See, I haven't even been on Twitter.
It's been nuts, yeah. They've been pushing... Well, I McIntyre, of course, trying to get his shot at the title. But if you go to Twitter, everybody was saying, please let it be Lesnar and Lashley.
Which is funny because they've been asking Lesnar to go away for the 3 years prior. Literally.
That's true. Yeah,
go figure, right?
That's true. I mean, you got to remember, for this to make sense, McIntyre has to be in the match against Lashley at Mania, so it has to be a three-way, and do you really want to spend Brock that way? Does Lesnar want to do that? I mean, it'd be nice, but I kind of skipped over it because I didn't really think that was plausible. The other ones are at least plausible. Joe comes out and demands a shot at the title because he got moved to the booth without ever.
That depends on if Samoa Joe's healthy enough, though. That's the whole reason why he's on the commentator's booth, if he's able to compete.
True. True. And like I said, that would be my least desirable of the three, because if you put him in there, even if he gets healthy enough to compete, you don't necessarily want him taking a lot of falls. The match is Lashley versus McIntyre anyway. You just need a believable body in there to take the fall and kill some time for a couple of months between Mania and the build-a-slam to SummerSlam.
I agree. I'm just wondering, because I'm not to poop on your idea, but I'm not a fan of triple threat matches as much. I'm wondering if they couldn't accomplish the same thing with just the two of them by having the Hurt Business do some shenanigans and costing Drew the match.
See, to me, the shenanigans is that's the less desirable of them. Truth be told, I would like it if this. I agree with what Matt said when he was on earlier. I would have liked to see Lashley win it at Survivor Series, have the reign, Chris and McIntyre at WrestleMania, and everybody moves on.
Mm-hmm.
To me, the triple threat match is the more desirable of those two. If you wanted to do, you know, a hurt interference thing, I guess. To me, that's the less desirable of the two options, because you want the moment of them facing off for the rematch head-to-head to be untainted.
Well, since I'm not trying to poop on your idea, but I'm trying to get away from it, no, Ripley, no. Not Ryback, no.
No, don't.
I don't think so. What about having The Miz interfere? And then the feud for the next couple months is Drew versus The Miz.
I could get behind that.
I'm just trying to think of different ways that they could do this. I think Drew's going to win the belt back, but...
Well, I do too. That's the end game here. I guess Stroh, sort of from a performer's perspective, like if you were in this sort of, pleasant booking fiasco that WWE finds himself in, would you prefer to be in a triple threat match? Would you prefer for your match to be, interfered with, or would that kind of depend on what position you're in going into the match?
A lot depends on the story being told and who's all involved in the story. Sometimes a three-way match works depending on the story involved and who's all involved in the story. But, it's for that big fight feel, it's always great to have a great one-on-one contest.
Especially WrestleMania, I think.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just always been my opinion. I thought that the one with Shawn Michaels and Benoit, I felt like that would have been better served as a singles match, too. Like, Shawn shouldn't have really been in that spot as much as I was a fan. That was Triple H and Benoit that year, and that's what it should have been. Just my opinion. We're going to bring on Derek. Derek, we're talking about the idea of throwing another body into that main event at WrestleMania just for the purpose of helping Lashley keep the title through maybe Summer Survivor Series next year.
Well, here's my thing. I know a lot of people kind of automatically assume Drew's there. He's going to face Bobby. He's going to beat Bobby to get his big moment at Mania, which is probably the case. But my whole thing was, if you want the big match feel, the first, your first night in front of fans in over a year, the match to me is Lashley versus Brock. And then some people go, well, what do you do with Drew McIntyre? Well, that John Cena guy doesn't have anybody to face, really. If you look through the roster, there's really nobody set out for Cena. So I'd give Cena McIntyre. And then you can kind of build those two guys, and then you could have, kind of build Drew back up to getting that belt. But I think the best thing they could do for Lashley is to have him beat Brock clean as a sheet at WrestleMania and give him a nice little heel run, and then eventually him and Drew can clash at SummerSlam or something like that.
I like that. I like that. And by the way, I do think Drew is going to be in the match. But, yeah, I do like that a lot. And they're friends, too, I think. So, they probably would be more than willing to do that.
Yeah. And
so I'm on board with that. I am.
Because if you look at it, if Drew wins, we're right back to where we were last week, where he's beaten everybody as champion. There's no draft to the fall. Who is he going to feud with that, over that title with? If he's beaten Randy Orton, he's beaten Sheamus, he's beaten AJ Styles. If he beats Bobby, he's beaten Bobby twice in a year. So you're kind of running out of bodies for him to fight on the Hill side of things. I think if Bobby's the monster Hill champion, you can feed him guys until, like I said, SummerSlam, where you could build Drew back up, and then it's almost time for the draft, and you can kind of mix things up a bit.
Yeah, I keep forgetting we got to wait all the way until October for a new draft.
Yeah.
Goldberg. Ratboy. No, no Goldberg, Ratboy. No, no.
Yeah, no Goldberg. No, disconnect Ratboy.
No.
Derek kind of hit on what we're all driving to. I think it's just sort of a matter of how we think WWE should go about it. The end goal is to somehow allow for you to get a Lashley McIntyre match at SummerSlam. I mean, really, at this point, that's your end goal, which to me is
fine. In front of 50,000 fans. Now.
Right. To me, that's your end goal. And,
in Texas.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
It's Texas or Mississippi or Indiana or
yeah.
you know, one of these better places.
Arizona.
Not us. I mean, how you get there is, I mean, yeah, I have a preference. Brady, you have a preference. Derek, you have a preference. But, I mean, realistically, if somebody comes to me and says, you know, it's going to be McIntyre versus Brock at WrestleMania, and you know we're going to find a way for Drew to do something else, and then we're going to get him and Lashley back together at SummerSlam. Yeah, that's not the way I want to go, but that's fine because the end goal still gets you Lashley versus McIntyre at the big reopen event. You know, if somebody comes. I know, Brady, you're not a fan of the triple threat match, but if somebody comes to you and says, we're going to have this triple threat match at Mania specifically so that we can get Lashley versus McIntyre on the big reopened stage at SummerSlam,
yeah.
you're not gonna complain.
Yeah, no, I would never complain.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think really the big take with it is that as long as they set up that match at that time, whatever they do is probably okay.
And here's the other thing, because WrestleMania will be two nights again, I almost want to say it doesn't matter what they do. If they decide to go the triple threat route, I'm pretty sure Roman and Edge will close night two. That would be my guess. If they decide to go triple threat with the Raw title, I think they will. If it's just one-on-one with the two young guns, then yeah, like they have a good chance to close Sunday night.
Yeah, I guess so. Because me, I think.
Put it this way: if Drew wins, then they main event Sunday night. If Lashley's gonna win, then I think that's Saturday.
You see, I think Sasha and Bianca is probably gonna main event Saturday. If they don't,
you really
mess
think
it
they're
up,
gonna do that?
If they don't mess it up between now and then, that's probably the freshest match you have. Yeah, well, Edge and Roman, yeah, but I mean, unless you do.
Will the wine guy get involved?
The wine guy? Reggie?
Yeah, I forget his name. Reginald.
His name is Reggie. Reginald, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't because they really don't need him. they don't need him for the story. But I don't know. They're at a point where, like, we still don't know what AJ Styles is doing, and they've kind of protected him a little bit. You know, I mean, I guess they're going to do Shane and Braun, so you're going to have to, Braun's going to have to throw Shane off of something high in that stadium. So,
this is where, this is where you miss having, like, Money in the Bank at WrestleMania, because that was a great way to spotlight 6, 7, 8 guys at the same time.
Yeah. Now they just put
without
you know,
doing
do
the,
it
battle
with the U.S. title. Yeah, now they just do it with, like, the U.S. title or the Intercontinental title.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm not a fan of that necessarily. I don't know. I guess the traditionalist in me, I don't know. But Money in the Bank isn't really a traditional thing anyway, so.
Although I do think Big E and Apollo, if they hold off, which they might not be able to, I think they could have a singles match for the IC title if they hold off long enough.
Right. Well, let's go to, we're going to go to Harry over there in Jolly old London. What's going on, Harry? You keep sending me these links for Thunderdome, and I keep forgetting to do them. I apologize. Mondays are tough for me.
Well, I'll send you the link on Friday.
Okay.
Whenever it is, they send it to me. You know,
I did try Friday.
We'll get that face in the Thunderdome, Hex.
I'm going to be like this.
It may scare children, but we'll get that face in the Thunderdome.
What do you think is going to be the main event of WrestleMania, Harry? What's going to close the show?
I want to go one of two ways. I'm going to agree with both
you. You got to pick one. No, that's fine.
Always love talking to you, pal. Now, I'm going to go one of two ways. I somewhat agree with Ray on the triple threat idea because this was presented to me this morning. Drew, Lashley, and Miz, even though supposedly Miz is already in that tag match. They can easily take him out of the tag match, put someone else in there. But yeah, that triple threat, have Miz be the third guy. Or just a straight up Brock against Lashley.
I forgot you were such a Miz guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you like him better than Lady Gaga?
That's a weird
really
pairing.
Brady,
I like Lady Gaga.
Brady, you know the last time we fought a war against the British, they kicked their teeth in, right?
Yeah, the ambush thing. Yes, so take it easy.
Hiding in the bushes.
Yeah, I like having Derek here as well. It's the first time I've actually been here with Derek in a while, and I like how he doesn't like you either, Brady.
I mean, it's just that, Brady, it's just that, like literally the last time that we got into a war with Harry's people, they came and burned the White House. So, I just...
Hey, whoa, that one wasn't on us. Oh, you mean not the recent one?
No, the war of
1890. Brigdy is falling
down.
I
was born in 1991, so that was a bit before my time.
Well, that's Harry, we have books, and you can read them. And
Brigdy is falling down. I see it, Rat Boy.
Oh, yeah, look at that.
I can't see Rat Boy's screen because there's only four videos above me. And,
you got to do the gallery view in order to get it.
Yeah, I'm not there.
Because he's muted, you're not going to hear him. he's later. He's the main for the second hour.
He definitely plays well as the mascot until then.
Yeah. Yeah, he's like our Gritty. I mean,
until such a day as you teach the American Roughneck how to control a computer, you've got a great mascot in Rat Boy. Speaking of the American Roughneck, I've got his action figure here.
Tremendous. Derek, you don't think Roman and Edge could be the main event? That's what they seem to be, building around.
I think it could, but I think, like I said, it all depends on if Brock. Vince loves Brock. And for as much as I love Roman and Edge, I think the idea of Lashley and Brock throwing each other around, I think Vince would eat that up.
Okay.
I agree with everything you just said.
Fair enough. Harry, what do you think about, we were talking about it earlier, the AEW is doing an exploding barbed wire match. And I know you're a huge fan of ultra-hardcore stuff. What do you think about that? I hope one of them loses a foot. I think it would be amazing.
Why would you wish
it would that? It would be a seven-star amputation.
Yeah,
amputation of the year.
I don't know where you got the fact that I'm a deathmatch hardcore wrestling fan. One time I called into another podcast and started burying DJ Hyde as he was doing an interview, and then the host chose to put me on after. So I don't know where you got that from, but hey, if it works for them, good for them. I've only ever watched two episodes of AEW. The first one, the very first episode, and the Brody Lee tribute. So what works for them doesn't necessarily entertain me. If it works for them, it works.
Eric, what do you think about that, though? I can remember ECW wasn't doing anything nearly that bad, unlike TNN back in the day, which you were probably like a little baby for, but I don't know. It felt like... Like, what were you, like about 6 or 7 when it was on TNN, you know? But
no,
I don't know. Like,
I was a teenager.
Oh, I thought it was like the late 90s. Was it the early 2000s? I guess it was.
Yeah, I think it was right before they died.
Yeah, it all runs together.
Yeah.
It all runs together. I mean, I don't know. My brain's turning to mush. But they said that ECW, like, that would never, like, cater to a mainstream audience, and now you want to do this? And on the same show, by the way, where they reach an agreement to, like, stream these at movie theaters like they used to do for WWE, you know, like closed circuit.
they have an audience. They're not going to reach the casual fan, because if you look at their numbers, it ranges between, like, 700,000 to 800,000 a week, you know, so they have their core audience. I don't know how this is going to make anybody who's not already a fan care. I know that's why they, they brought in Shaq, and Shaq was supposed to reel everybody in, but then they have a scheduling conflict and he has to wrestle tomorrow night instead of on the pay-per-view.
Right.
But
it's okay, because it's going to be the best one ever. Best celebrity ever.
Did you see that? He's going to be the best celebrity ever, and then Pat McAfee retweeted and goes, not even close.
I hope Mike Tyson punches him out.
Oh. I worry about Shaq, because he's...
Who's your favorite Mike Tyson punch-out character?
I was a King Hippo guy.
Where are you? I like Joe.
I love King Hippo. I'm gonna toss one out to you because it was so comical.
Yeah.
What about Great Tiger?
Wow. Mike Tyson's punch out?
Wow.
Yeah. He's no Piston Honda, but he's good.
No, he's not. He's not. But if you remember Great Tiger, you knew when to punch him because the jewel in his turban would start flashing.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I gotta tell you, I think if I were his manager, I might be telling him, look, we need to talk about the turban. I think it's costing you a lot of matches.
You might have to rework this thing.
Hey, what is it, like a mood ring? Like, I never understood that.
Yes.
Well, Harry, you're looking stylish as ever. Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
No, you giving me the link earlier just made me think, you know, I'll come waste a few precious minutes of your time and make myself feel important like only I can. You know, I very much dig this visual concept you got now. I don't know who came up with that idea, but whoever it was, you know, they had a great idea. Obviously showed you the American Roughnecks action figure. Got a Rosemary pop.
Nice.
All these great things.
I have my El Gigante action figure.
Now, did I print that?
No.
Okay. I'll print your action figure once I finally get around to action figures. But
I just realized I ruined the contest for this week. By the way, we had a winner last week, the Virgil one, so I apologize about that. But we'll do the contest again next week.
I gave that one away, though, so to be fair, that one was my fault. But
it was win-win because it went behind the paywall, Harry, so the guy that won a prize actually pays the same amount per month that he won in the prize, so it works.
Is that on Patreon?
Yeah.
I had no idea you guys were on Patreon. That's very cool.
We just started, so...
Okay.
Yeah, lots of cool features on there.
Yeah, you're really getting yourself out there, Hicks.
That's the great thing about being partners with Bruce. He's constantly pushing me to do more than talk to Rat Boy. Take care, Harry.
Be good, Hicks. I did say.
See you, homie. I'll talk to you Friday when you send the link.
Unless I forget.
Or unless you go on.
No, I don't want to do that. I did it once. That's enough for me.
All right. See you, brother. The great Harry Barnett there. 914-338-1885. Ray, we were talking about the topics and stuff like that, and I definitely wanted you to introduce yours. I'm sorry we're so late getting to it, but, you know, it's just been kind of chock full.
It's been a good packed show, which really is what we want.
And we got even more to come. Yeah, this is like...
We do.
What's that show on ESPN, Derek, where they have the topics kind of sliding up the screen as you go? That's what this is like here. I got my list, and
Brady, why do you assume the black man knows what's on ESPN?
Well,
pardon the interruption? Is that what you mean?
That might be it. Pardon the interruption. See, he did now.
Do you see what we put up with on this show?
I know. Real quick before I forget, because we were talking about AEW, just real quick. You remember when the Revival left WWE because they wanted to be taken more seriously and they didn't want to, you know, do stupid angles and stuff like that? Remember that?
That was
the whole thing.
Yeah.
How do you think they feel about, you know, being in an angle where they're wrestling a man dinosaur and the hillish act was cutting the horns off of his mask? You think they're okay with that? Is that serious enough for them?
I don't know. I thought the good push that they wanted lasted a couple months until they got the new Good Brothers shiny toy, you know, and then it kind of went away. So,
wrestling
is a long-standing American tradition.
I guess the sole purpose, and they might not have known it, but it seems like the sole purpose of them coming in was to make the Young Bucks the undisputed best tag team in the world in their eyes. That's what it seems like to me.
When Hogan brought in Warrior just to beat him at Halloween Havoc.
Yeah, like, gotta get my win back, brother.
Gotta get my win back, brother.
So, Ray, you were saying about the NWA.
So, in 2 weeks, the NWA is making its sort of big debut return to, you know, sort of to having operations in some sort of recognizable capacity. And I think I can speak for everyone on the panel when I say that I personally am happy about that, because I think that the NWA serves a very good purpose within the broader wrestling feeder system. That being said, I have concerns about whether or not they will be successful, because I think in the time since they temporarily suspended operations, the landscape has changed greatly. And I'm just not sure where they fit into the market anymore. And I guess I sort of wanted to kind of ask you guys, toss this out there. Do you see a place for them in the wrestling marketplace? And could it possibly be that we are going to see the NWA primarily make its bones in the virtual space?
Yeah. First of all, I was a huge fan of the latest version of NWA. I didn't watch any of the kind of comeback shows that they had in December, but the stuff that they were doing pre-pandemic, like Power, was probably my favorite wrestling show at the time when it went off the air. I loved the presentation. I loved the fact that it felt like an 80s infomercial for wrestling. It was amazing. The entire thing was great, and I don't know if that wouldn't have gotten old with another year and a half of watching it. That entirely could have been true. But I was a huge fan, and I feel like there's always got to be a place for them. You look at some of the stars that they created in that brief amount of time, you know, like, for example, Thunder Rosa. They turned her into a megastar, really, if you think about it. And she carried that momentum into AEW. What's the other one, Derek? I assume Derek's going to know. The guy on Team 10.
Yeah, no. I do know, because what I was going to say
Ricky
is
Starks.
I'm worried.
Yeah,
they've lost a lot of people since they've been close. They've lost Ricky Starks. They've lost Ziggy Dice. They've lost a lot of people. You know, God rest his soul, Question Mark just passed away.
Oh, man, Ziggy Dice is great.
Question Mark, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, seriously. R.I.P. James Storm.
Yeah,
Eddie
James
Kingston.
Storm. Yeah, and I wonder
Eli Drake.
Where they're going to get
Eli
yeah,
Drake.
Eli, where's this talent? I was hoping they like got some kind of partnership with like an MLW or somewhere like that where they could borrow talent from somewhere and they didn't have to worry about losing that talent. Like Thunder Rosa, she's good as gone. I know she's still their champion, but whatever her contract's up, she's gone. And I just hope they can find some talent, because I enjoyed their shows. I mean, they still have my boy Elijah Burke, who's still entertaining the Pope. But I hope they
lost Wade Barrett too, by the way.
Yeah.
Who was their voice? Because they fired Jim Cornette.
So that's a lot. See what's going to happen. Yeah.
It's going to be a totally different presentation when they do come back. I have never used the Fight app. And that's the truth. I've never had to, you know, I've always just kind of had people send them to me as send things to me as they need them. But I downloaded it because I found out that you can get Ring of Honor on there, which I haven't been keeping up with as much. And also, you know, because of this NWA deal. So, Ray, I mean, I'm on board with it. I'm curious to see. The last thing we really need in this world is more wrestling content. But at the same time, if it's something to mix it up, I mean, I'm willing to give them a shot. I am.
So I'm willing to give them a shot, too, especially for, I think the iPay-per-view is being sold for $20. For $20 on a Sunday afternoon, I can, you know, I'll toss that in and see what they have going.
Yeah.
I suppose what I'm saying is I'm worried they're coming back at a really bad time for them to come back.
Okay,
and
sure.
I guess my hope is that they have a plan to market this much more digitally than, you know, than they were before, because I think there's a gap to be filled there, whereas I'm concerned that trying to run different regional stuff and, you know, getting it on TV, I'm worried that might not necessarily work anymore.
I can remember when they started with the YouTube show, somebody, I think it was like Dave Shearer or somebody like that, as if there's a lot of people out there like Dave Shearer, but you know what I mean, like somebody who's like very knowledgeable about what they're talking about, but not necessarily in touch with like everything that they have planned. And he pointed out that like it's on YouTube. It wasn't even monetized at the time when they started it. They had no advertisers to speak of. Somebody was paying for this, and at some point, they were going to want a return on it. And just uploading shows to YouTube really isn't the best model for making money.
It's not.
Trust me, I know. You could get a couple thousand listeners a week, and it really don't mean a whole lot if you're not monetized. So, in some way. So it'll be interesting for sure. One thing I do like about their direction, Derek, is I like Billy Corgan a lot. I feel like even if he isn't the most knowledgeable, I feel like he's somebody that cares. And more importantly than that, I think he cares and he doesn't necessarily want to be the center of attention, even though he's a celebrity, which I think is like such welcome news, because there's other owners who aren't celebrities who want to be the whole damn show.
And
not that I want to go
funny
in that door, but still.
and he's
in the song, The World is a Vampire.
And it's funny because, speaking of said promoter, it went from, you know, I don't want to be a character on TV, I don't want to be seen on TV. It went from that to him being on Impact every week playing essentially Mr. McMahon from the late 90s, which is hilarious to me. I also like the
forbidden window.
Yeah.
Like if Mr. McMahon and Chris Jericho from 1999 had a kid, that would be Tony Khan.
I like Billy Corgan, him and Nick Aldis. They stayed true to what the NWA was, because it would be so easy for them to, you know, do what Impact did and have a, you know, build a partnership with like an AEW and have Aldis be on their show, but he wouldn't feel special because he's still on AEW show and they have a world champion. So he's not the guy. So I appreciate what they're doing. It's very old school, and that's what I like about it.
Yeah, I like it too. Let's go to the phones. I'm going to bring on Justin. hopefully we don't regret this. What's going on, Justin? How you doing, brother?
Not much. Just relaxing, that's all.
Chilling, minding on your money. Good.
You? I'm keeping myself. That's all.
You being gangsta?
What? No.
I guess kids don't say that anymore, do they? Gangsta. That was like a thing.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think I'm too old. Yeah. I think it was.
Yeah. That was like high school.
I've been keeping myself, that's all.
What's that?
I've just been keeping to myself, that's all.
Been keeping to yourself?
Yeah.
Well, that's a good way to make friends if you got a lot of personality.
I can tell us about friends anyway. I just,
Do you have thoughts on the NWA?
Don't watch it, and I could actually care less about it.
Ice Cube and Easy.
Okay. You don't like the NWA there, gangster?
That's all right. I see some of the stuff that you post on YouTube, and I'm like, ah, interesting, cool. Not for me. But, I'm actually trying to get my own YouTube show coming up, and then that's 6 months or so, going out to shoot some footage and all that crazy stuff.
What can we call it?
What
Paranormal
can we call
Justin.
It? No, definitely not. I'll
crazy Justin
it,
chasing ghosts.
No, okay.
Right, hang
call
on.
It,
what if we set it like? What if we hang on? Let me pitch this idea. Okay, so.
Sorry, John.
We do like a part paranormal investigation, part organic farming show, and we call it Blueberries with Justin.
No. With NWA playing in the background.
I actually had a name for it, but I don't know if it will actually stick.
What is it?
The misadventures with Justin. Just basically
the misadventures
of Justin. Did I have to say misadventures three times and then you appear and do the show?
Yeah, maybe.
All right.
Misadventures of Justin.
Like the Marvel.
How about Justin Misadventures? How about Miss Justin? No, that wouldn't work. I'm trying to think.
I would try to keep the show title as goofy as my personality, and
How about Goofy Justin's Misadventures?
Justin's Goofy Adventures. There you go.
Adventures. Yeah, Brady. I mean, once I start getting it going and all that. Hey, maybe I'll have you as a video call.
I'll call in.
It's gonna be a video call. Maybe I can message you and say, hey, here's the link. Call
I'll be
me
like, hey.
And we'll just chat whatever.
The number who this?
Yeah, brother, you got it.
Did I ever tell you guys
about the time it was before I met Kelly? I spent New Year's. I went on a triple date, Voice of Choice and his ex-wife, and my best friend Mike, and this girl that I had set him up with, and this girl that I had met. It was the six of us, and we went out, Derek, and we partied. You know, we went to like this event. They had like a great food, great drink, and it was like just drunken adventures. It was amazing. Amazing time. And things didn't work out with this girl, Derek. I broke up with her maybe about 2 or 3 weeks later after New Year's. And
damn,
I didn't talk to her for almost a whole year, you know?
Damn, that's crazy.
You can see where this is going.
I do.
So I met Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Great relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's great.
Mm-hmm.
We're having a New Year's party at Kelly's house the next year, Derek.
Oh,
and at
no.
12:01, I get a text.
Oh,
it
no.
would have been about 10 pages long if I printed it. Just talking about how, like, this time last year we were so close. Somebody was having a meltdown then. She's like, you know, we were so close last year, and I had so much fun, and I don't know how you could do this to me, and I don't know how you could give up on us, and how do we go almost the whole year without talking? And it was horrible. I felt so bad, Derek. She's like, on and on. It was a long text. And
hey,
it must have taken her 10 minutes to write it. And when I got to the end, Dustin, I answered her. I just said, new phone, who dis?
Who dis?
Hey, Brady.
And I said it just like that.
Hey, Brady.
Never heard back. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Brady. Hey, this is what you say when you have a crazy ex message you like 20 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, hey, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I know I'm an asshole, and you know what? You were the dumb person that settled with me, and unfortunately,
yeah, I like my answer better.
I
don't even know who you are.
Hey, you know what? I'm very blunt with people, and I'm like, hey, if I like you, I'll tell you how I feel. If I don't like you, you don't exist in my world. Just don't care. It's how I am, man.
I love it, brother.
Yeah.
Well,
man.
Listen, that was fun.
Yeah, you have a good show.
You too, brother. I can't wait to be on Justin's Goofy Justin's Adventures or whatever.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, maybe I'll have you on if you're up for it. Maybe.
You know I am.
Yeah, we'll talk about everything. We'll just anything that's underneath the sun and whatever's going on.
Pretty much everything's underneath the sun if you think about it.
The grass.
At least from our perspective.
People. Yeah, the grass, the dead people, and everybody else.
Great talking. You're the man.
Yeah, man. Yeah, you too, buddy.
Hey, Justin. You all right?
You all right?
I tried.
All right, man.
Later.
Yeah. Dynamite.
That's fun. Out of sight. Oh, anyway. So, Stro brought it up, and this actually leads into something that I had seen as well. So, Tully Blanchard is making his return to the ring on Wednesday. In no doubt what can be considered an amazing five-star match. It'll probably be the tag team match of the year when all is said and done. Certainly in the top five. And it's been such a long time. I just – it's so hard to believe. It's so – Boy, I'll get to you soon, Ratboy. I will. He's throwing out all these rat rumors. So Tully Blanchard, Derek, what do you think about him coming back to the ring specifically? Because he was he's been gone a long time.
Tully Blanchard, my memories of him before I went back and watched his work was as the Brain Buster with Arn Anderson. And then as I got a little older, I went back and I watched all the old horse and stuff, and he was amazing. It's in a way, it's kind of heartbreaking only because, and I was listening to Jim Cornette brought this up, and I was laughing when he mentioned it. He goes, Tully Blanchard, one of the greatest promos ever in professional wrestling, one of the greatest wrestlers ever, is going to be in the ring in 2021 selling for Marco Stunt. And I thought about it, and I was like, oh, he is. And it's like, oh, damn it. I just hope. I think FTR, they'll take care of them because they're awesome at what they do. But is there really a need for Tully Blanchard in 2021? Really? And then Sting's gonna wrestle on Sunday.
It took a power bomb. Go ahead, Ray.
All the love and respect in the world of Tully Blanchard. He has had a more meaningful impact on this industry that we are blessed enough to be able to come out here and talk about every week than any of us ever will. He truly is just a legendary. To go back to a term that I used at the beginning of the show, a larger-than-life figure in our beloved sport. He's 67!
Is he that old?
Yeah.
Yes!
What was Lawler when he had the heart attack?
And the thing is, he looks every bit of it.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like.
Like, why are you doing this? But like, you have a.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to tell. Yeah. Sorry.
You have a daughter. He has a daughter that I'm gonna check
yeah,
and
does.
Make sure on this. You know, Tessa Blanchard is she's old enough for me to date.
Yep.
She's old enough for Mike to date.
Well, not really.
I was gonna say I'm gonna hold that up as an example the next time my mom reminds me that I need to have kids. Is like Tully Blanchard had a kid in his 50s.
As I get in the top
40s. 40s. Not 50s.
I don't. If this was some sort of. I think my problem is with where and how it's happening. If this were some great send off for a career. At a capacity WrestleMania crowd.
Yeah.
Where somebody who was always part of the Horsemen, but definitely was always, you know, sort of playing second chair and sort of a recognition for everything that he did and everything he kind of put, I would be okay with it. But you're this is almost going to be as sad as that footage of, like, Nikolai Volkov wrestling at the gym with nobody in it.
Oh, with
oh
the
without
mat.
The ring,
yeah.
Wasn't it? He was just, like, wrestling on the mat? Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't...
I knew that company, yeah.
I don't want to see him do this. I don't know, Stroh, you're the only one that has an actual wrestling career to sort of look back on. Like, I mean, would you want, especially with a career where you've been in major spots, you are an actual name that people remember. Is this really how you want to be remembered at the end of your career?
Well, I mean... It's like Derek said, he's in the six-man tag, and he's in really great shape for his age. I mean, he's always stayed in good shape, Tully Blanchard has.
He looks
jacked. It's not like they're giving him the edge treatment, if you will.
Not yet.
And with me, and I may be in a minority, who knows, but. Making appearances is great. Doing your thing every now and then is great. Showing, you know, a little nostalgia, if you will, that type of thing. But I personally, as far as taking a top spot, you know, I couldn't live with myself knowing that I'm taking somebody else's spot. The spot that I used to have. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To get away from somebody else that's busted their rear end like years upon years to get to that level, right? So I mean, that's just me. You know what I'm
saying? At least it's not WrestleMania, I mean, it's just their show.
I mean,
right. So, I mean, I had to talk to all the new generation of guys and gals doing their thing to get to that level because they've bust their butts so hard to – reach that pinnacle, you know what I mean? I would want to be more helpful than hurtful to someone's career. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, I
for sure. For sure. Like the things I'm saying, just to clarify, the things I'm saying, they're coming from a place of love. Like I don't want this to come across as like Ray hates Tully Blanchard. No. I want to remember him. For what he was,
right.
That's what makes nostalgia great.
And this is a narc on Edge either, because I mean,
no,
he looks in great. He's in great shape and can still go. But you know, I'm just saying for like like a personal standpoint, you know what I mean? I wouldn't want to take someone else's, if someone wanted to put me to that top level, I wouldn't want to myself to take away from the guys and gals that are they're hungry, that haven't had that chance, you know what I mean?
Listen, I look at Edge, I look at AJ Styles, I look at Samoa Joe, I look at Shawn Michaels right before he retired. Like, 40 is clearly the new 30. Like, guys can still go in their 40s. Unfortunately, 50 is the new 40, but that's a whole other story. I look at that, and I think, like, yeah, like, Tully Blanchard, listen, I'm not going to criticize him. He's probably not going to have a major part in the match, but it's going to be I can guarantee you he's going to be beyond excited to get the opportunity to kind of mix it up again, which he hasn't done in forever. I just hope that they're smart enough to keep it in a limited role where he stays safe, where everybody's in the ring with stays safe. And, you know, if everybody in there is bumping for him, look at the Rock and Roll Express, man. They went in there, and they're doing frigging Canadian Destroyers. And like
Destroyers.
You can just tell that everybody's loving being in the ring with them. And I hope it's like something similar. I really do. I hope it's not a case of too much. But, it's a delicate balance, but I think he can pull it off.
Here's what I'm worried about. Now, I saw an interview with Jake the Snake Roberts, right? And they brought this thing up about Tully. And you know what Jake said? You guessed it. He goes, you know, I've been talking to Tony Khan a little bit, and I feel really good about my chances of being able to get in the ring and get physical again somewhere down the line. And
well, sure.
I'm getting worried that this is going to happen. Sting's doing it. Tully's going to do it. Jake sees those guys doing it. Hell, I can take one good. I got one good bump left in me. And then Jake will be doing it. And then Arn will be giving somebody a spine buster. And it's like Stroh said, those guys are pillars of this industry, and they deserve all the respect. Tully Blanchard, for a guy I never saw in his prime, is one of my favorite wrestlers of all time, to the point where I thought if it wasn't for that pesky Ric Flair, Tully could have been NWA champion because he was that good at everything.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
like Stroh said, I just hope that these guys don't start taking TV time away from the younger guys, and you know, because that's what's going to start hurting. That's what happened to TNA. That's what hurt TNA. That's what hurt WCW in the long run. You couldn't get the Hogans and these guys off TV. So I'm just hoping that doesn't start to happen in AEW. I mean, you get the Big Show.
And that's the temptation when you have a company like that and you're trying to take the next step. Well, the next step involves quote-unquote major players. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I wonder, like, does Vince McMahon still own Slammiversary? Like the name?
I don't know.
Do a Legends reunion here, maybe that's the way this should go, you know? Kind of a once-a-year thing.
Yeah, I have the same concern Derek does. I don't want something that could be cool in its own self-contained thing.
Yeah.
To spill out. You know, aside from the fact that I really don't want memories of Tully Blanchard, whether they are memories from when you saw him live or you are like me and you know a lot of your memories are from going back and watching old tapes and saying, wow, if only I had been alive to see that in person. In addition to not wanting that to be sullied, you know, and that's why I said before, if this were something at like Mania or maybe SummerSlam, where it's a crown jewel show, and it's sort of a last hurrah, kind of like a Lou Gehrig day for your career, and you get that last moment to kind of celebrate who you were, and there wouldn't be a lot of people. That list is very short of people that I would say you could still do. And Tully Blanchard would be one of them. He'd be on that short list.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My hope is that, and I guess like I would be more okay if it was that, because that is the chance for you to have your moment in the sun, to not take away from the guys that are coming up now, and to get that sort of last dance in the ring and really – receive the recognition that you deserve. I hope that this doesn't become a regular thing, because then it loses what makes it special, and in that process, you lose the ability to have those special moments again later down the line.
Sure, absolutely.
There's very few Ricky Steamboat at WrestleMania 25 moments. Like, his was perfect. He wrestled at WrestleMania 25. He looked great. He wrestled the night after Mania and looked great. He wrestled that one match with Jericho and looked great, and that was it. And very few guys get the send-off that Ricky Steamboat got.
Yeah, that's true.
Was tremendous.
I will tell you the other one that probably comes close, although it was unintentional, you know, just sort of the unfortunate death right afterward, maybe the Freddie Blassie send-off.
Oh, yeah.
Where Austin comes down, stops Blassie from being harassed, and then Blassie gets the microphone and orders him to get the tables.
Yeah.
I would, you know, maybe something like that, you know, would be kind of cool, especially for someone that you want to protect, because no matter how great of shape Tully Blanchard is in, but I don't care how good of shape a 60-some-year-old man is in, he's a 60-some-year-old man who has some hard miles on that body. I don't want you taking major things. If they're going to do this, everything needs to stay safe. But I think maybe something like that at a major, major event that everyone can see and that can truly be like a real cast on the career would just be so much more satisfying.
You know who had a great send-off, and it actually transitions into my next topic, Ric Flair. This guy, you know, WrestleMania, going to retire if he loses. I love you. I'm sorry. Kick, pop, 1, 2, 3. It's over. Now, if he would have walked away, you know, if he didn't wrestle in TNA, I tend to try and forget that he wrestled in TNA because, by and large, he's kind of honored that, at least in WWE. It's a shame because he's become such a comedy piece to WWE. But when he walked away, that was like textbook walk into the sunset. It ain't ever going to be cooler. And he went out at the hands of his favorite wrestler, you know, which is something Kurt Angle couldn't say. I thought it was amazing, and it truly
that
was
night
a shame.
After Raw, oh my God!
Yeah, the emotional, the celebration the next night on Raw, which and by the way, all his friends in there, including Arn Anderson. I don't know if you guys saw an interview this week that Ric Flair did. I think it was with Wrestling Inc. I could be wrong about that. But he was talking about how he and Arn haven't spoken in years. And I thought that was, like, so strange. Did you see that?
Yeah, and he said, you know, when he almost died, he said he didn't hear from Arn at all, which is, like, heartbreaking.
Yeah. He said it started when, I guess, when Reed Flair died, like, which was, like, what, 2009, I guess? It was early on doing this podcast. I know that. So I think it was, like, the first month I was doing this. Might have even been the first episode. But he said that Arn didn't reach out to him at all when Reed died. Arn didn't go to the funeral. And after that, things were, like, never quite the same, you know? And it was just like, but, yeah, like, you know, when Rick was in the hospital, Arn didn't reach out, he said. Something must have happened there, because I can't imagine as close as they were that there isn't more to that story. It's just a shame to see.
It's heartbreaking. It's like Sean and Triple H having a falling out. It's like, oh, what's going on?
Yeah.
It is. I'm going to say this. I'm going to sort of play devil's advocate here and try to put myself in Arn's shoes. I think sometimes there are times that no matter how close you are to someone, you grow apart. And, you know, there's a very real possibility that Arn looked at Flair, you know, still kind of living the life and being in the spotlight. And there might have been a point where Arn just said, I want to separate because this is no longer who I am or what I'm about. And, you know, at that point, you just kind of drift. And no matter how close you are as friends, the reality is that they weren't family. And, you know, when you drift, you know, you know, maybe you see each other, you know, a couple of times a week. You know, maybe it's a phone call every now and then. And maybe you see each other around the holidays. And soon, through nobody's fault, you just kind of don't. You just kind of drift apart. I think by and large, that's the nature of most human relationships. That's why the ones that we have for so long are so special, because they're so rare and so unique.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
and,
right. You guys remember the Ric Flair Arn Anderson feud, WCW, some years back?
Yeah.
I really thought that they pulled the plug on that feud way too soon. They really could have done a lot more with that, because, oh my God.
It only lasted a month or something, right? I mean, it wasn't long.
Right.
It was used, they just beat up Sting again like they always do.
Right. I mean, to me, that was huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome.
They started feuding.
And they had such good chemistry because they were so familiar and friendly with each other, which made it, you know, those kind of stories when they play out. You know, like I always say, like, the example I always use is like Hunter and Sean, like two guys that really couldn't be much closer, just beating the crap out of each other, you know, knocking each other off stretchers, knocking each other off the, like, the platform, stuff like that, just absolutely brutalizing each other, you know, chairs,
mm-hmm.
sledgehammers, all that stuff. And it's like, I know they're not doing full impact with some of those, things, but, like, you could just tell that they were so comfortable with each other that they were able to just bring it, and it really translated. And I thought that was kind of the same thing with Arn and Rick. Like, you know, they were both in there. They could both still go at the time. I felt like that feud could have been so much more than it was.
Yeah, and they cut it short, yeah.
Yeah, crazy. Crazy. Let's go to, we'll go to Rat Boy. As soon as he unmutes himself. Got to unmute yourself, pal. There you go. What's going on, Rat Boy? How you doing? You're my boy, Blue. He's got a boy. He's got a You're My Boy Blue t-shirt on. You do look like that guy.
He does.
Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah. You should see him with his new teeth, man. He looks like DDP. I don't hear you. Is your mic off, maybe? I can't hear you.
Hey, maybe he's doing the Pootie Tang gimmick, where he sings a song that no one hears.
Maybe. Try and figure that out. Derek, did you bring a topic for this week? I know you had mentioned you were going to think about some stuff.
I sure did. I brought up the Observer Awards.
Oh, okay. And I meant to circle back around to that. That was crazy. That
that everybody was pissed
off. I love
off.
The Booker of the Year. I'm not even sure, is he even a booker, technically? I thought Cody was the booker.
Me too. I thought it was like a group thing, because isn't like Kenny Omega in charge of the women and the Bucks are in charge of the tag teams. But, Tana got the book. But the thing that that made me laugh the most was, I believe the Young Bucks got Tag Team of the Year, and apparently they have won that six times in a row. It's just,
I'm not surprised.
It's amazing to you know, Meltzer was defending himself, like, you know, I don't vote, the fans vote, and, you know, blah, 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 and which is true, but, you know, it's your shows that they're listening to. You kind of control the narrative. And if you listen to him and Brian Alvarez, who I'm a fan of, AEW is the best thing since sliced bread. Everything about it is perfect.
Right.
They make no mistakes. I mean, to the point where he'll spoil things for other companies, and he won't spoil anything for AEW. Everything's a secret for him. And I just think he seemed shocked by the backlash. But it's like, what did you expect? Like, they pretty much swept all the categories. So, you know, John Moxley won the least Wrestler of the Year
worst
award.
Worst character. Didn't Bray Wyatt win, like, the worst worst persona or something?
Yeah, meanwhile, they have, like, a zombie-slash-demon girl on their show. Like, how does she not win? But,
yeah.
You know.
Well, because she's AEW, bud. Yeah, I think the backlash is for two reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, finish.
No, I'm going to say, it's just like, I was listening to Jim Cornette again, and he was appalled that the Ric Flair / New Fans Wrestler of the Year award went to John Moxley. Like, he wanted to throw up in his mouth when he heard that Moxley had won that award. And like I said, if you're Meltzer, you have to expect this backlash given your connection to that company.
It's baffling. And I understand people are like, it's funny because like people are like really coming after Meltzer. And these are the same people who would like come after Meltzer if he gave all the awards to WWE guys. So I don't know. It feels like, why are they so staunchly defending WWE if they're critical of them the entire year?
So here's the thing. I think the backlash wouldn't necessarily – it would have happened because the giving all the awards to AEW, like, I like the AEW product, but to say that they are like the best, and Derek's right, you would think that AEW, instead of being a wrestling promotion, had, you know, retroactively gone back in time and been the ones that discovered the polio vaccine. But, you know, I think the backlash got worse because Meltzer doubled down on his ridiculousness by sort of trying to say, well, it's them. You that did it. It's the fans that did it. But that is as believable as saying that the fans are the ones that voted for the Cyber Tuesday matches.
Now, they insisted that those were a shoot.
Cyber Tuesday,
they did.
Yeah.
They insisted. But, no, what they would try to do is they would try to guide them toward what they wanted them to do. But supposedly they were real, or at least that's what I heard.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking of Taboo Tuesday.
So I believed it too. I thought there was like an element of reality to it.
Yeah.
Until there was a Cyber Tuesday match where they one of the options was Jerry Lawler, and I said no, they didn't. They did. So every single person could vote for Jerry Lawler, and he would not win this. So. Yeah, that was sort of what I isolated saying. This is a bunch of hoo-ha. But to me, the backlash gets worse because instead of just saying, look, I firmly believe this, these are the awards that I'm giving out, and, you know, if you don't like it, feel free to come in and disagree with me, but I'm going to stick by these.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, he tries to, like, say, well, it's not me, that's really you guys. Like, and when he does that, that's how Dave Meltzer sounds. By doing that, I think that makes the backlash worse, and frankly, deservedly so, if that's the case.
Okay, Rapley, I cannot hear you. Try and say something.
But don't.
Can you talk? Now, maybe try calling back. I'm going to go to the next caller. It's up to you. Let's go to
over.
Huh? Hey, Brady.
We're in the overtime.
Yeah, we're in the overtime, and we got Dustin for the overtime. What's going on, Dustin? You made your big return early.
Yeah, I've been able to call since February 1st.
Yeah, what's up? You all right? You don't got the Rona, do you?
No, I had a shoulder surgery for a minor problem.
Oh, okay, for a minor problem.
Yeah, just a nagging issue I've had for years, like through high school.
I thought you meant minor, like you were under 18. I got you.
No. Since I was in high school, I had a problem with my shoulder, and I finally got surgery done on it. So I've been doing rehab for the past 2 weeks.
So do you got full mobility again now?
Well, I should in about another 2 weeks. They should let, they're going to let
okay.
me start moving. So, yeah, they've been doing some stretches and stuff on my shoulder.
Be able to toss the pigskin around again.
Hey, yeah, ha ha, very funny.
I just
been saying to myself until. Never mind. I'm not gonna bring it up on here. Many already discussed it.
Yeah. No, there's no need to. There's no need to
Did Justin call in that?
He did, and he didn't mention you, so let's let it go. I don't like to talk about conflicts between guys. It's something I learned with Ratboy and Malcolm a couple of years ago. You're just better to let them battle it out on their own. So
Yeah.
Also, we don't care.
Now,
I'm in your corner, brother.
Yeah. Well, Birdie has him now. I'm not talking to him no more, so we're good.
Great.
Who are you not talking
what
to?
Just say?
Justin.
Yay.
Oh, Justin. Okay. What about Tora? You talk to Tora?
I love
Tora. Yeah, Tora's my friend. We've been friends for like almost 6 years.
Yeah, I like Tora.
Tora.
I like Tora.
Yes, Tora.
So, yeah.
Tora's somebody I think I could drink with.
It's just been a crazy, crazy month. Like, really, just a lot of stuff has been at indoor, really, personally.
Well, what are you enduring personally?
Well,
you
want to
get
all
Dr. Drew on this?
TMI.
No. Well, Birdie, it's just because of the fact I've had that shoulder surgery. It's been hard to do a lot of things.
What do you do for a living? I know you used to, like, work in construction.
He hangs out in Florida.
I'd rather not talk about my work history over the radio.
Okay. All right.
But I do have a job.
Professional caller.
Silence does not make good radio.
Well, Birdie, I do have a job.
Professional caller.
Well, Birdie, I have a job. I just don't want to talk about it on the radio.
Okay, he's a call boy.
He's a bouncer at the bathhouse.
Oh, wow.
He's a gigolo.
Exciting.
No, Birdie. So,
okay. It's
not ready. Were you shocked at Bobby Lashley won the title last night?
Not at all. We've been talking about it for a couple weeks now. I feel like Bobby Lashley should absolutely be in that spot. The only thing I'm surprised at is it took them this long to figure that out. This guy's well-spoken. He's jacked. He's a decent wrestler. And the fans seem to love him. At least as a destroyer. I thought it was and to have him beat up The Miz, it couldn't have been more perfect. He actually got a reaction.
I just have a feeling that they're going to have him hold the belt until Mania, then McIntyre win it back.
That's cool. Hey, Justin, are there going to be clouds in the sky tomorrow?
Yeah. Watch the forecast.
Tomorrow's forecast is going to be in mid-80s.
Jesus.
Okay.
That's great.
What is it out there right now?
Go away.
Sometimes it gets cold at night. I can't look at it while I'm on the phone.
It's like the desert, right?
Don't you live in Florida?
Well, usually it gets kind of chilly at night.
Do you get alligators in your pool?
No. Florida.
Have you ever been to that swamp where that guy Dexter goes to, Dexter Morgan?
Oh, yeah. The swamp.
You ever been to Lake Okeechobee?
Birdie, speaking of that, they're bringing back the Dexter show. They're doing a 10-part
show.
I can't wait. I can't wait. I'm so excited. I'm all caught up
waiting.
On Dexter right before they took it away on Netflix. You know what I'm watching now, Dustin?
So,
you'll love it. I know you watched
it. It was
thing.
Really nice to hear you talk about things tonight.
It was tremendous. Yeah, right.
It was a really refreshing radio.
Dustin, I'm watching Glee. Have you ever seen Glee?
No, I'm good.
No, you're good. It's good, though.
No, I'm good. It's not for me.
How do you know? You never saw it.
No, I'm good. Birdie, ever seen the show called Walker? It's the reboot of the Texas Walker.
No, but
oh,
I hated
God,
that show.
Terrible.
I hated that show, so.
Well, the reboot is a lot better.
They can't replace Chuck Norris. Come on, man.
Flashlight.
That's crazy. Chuck Norris is the man.
Well, it's one of the guys that played Supernatural, one of the main characters. That's playing Walker's character.
Yeah, woohoo. Whoop-de-goo.
So, Birdie, you think we're going to get Seth Rollins versus Cesaro at Mania?
Yes, I do. In fact, Ratboy was holding up a sign earlier. You can practically book it. That guy should get Booker of the Year, Ratboy.
So this is my land grant.
That's right.
By Greg of Cleveland.
That's nice, right?
I know.
Hopefully,
oh, you have a
Birdie,
land grant.
Hopefully, Hopefully Brody Cesaro wins this match.
I think he will.
That'd be huge for him. It really, really.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, that's tremendous. That's Ray, that's cool. Awesome.
Do you think Chris Hero is going to interfere in it?
I'm just trying to make this segment interesting.
I don't know.
I got a.
I don't know.
Cool.
But, well, Ray has not talked to
I don't know either.
This is actually this
you
is, this is from my mom. This was given to her.
Yeah, my
kid.
Shoulder's
right,
hurting.
Brother,
I can't get the
cool.
Call on.
Nice.
My shoulder's hurting.
No, anyway, it's kind of cool.
Yeah, you need a Bluetooth that. Take care, brother.
All right, bro.
Love you. Okay. Bye.
All right, so Brady, while you were busy doing that, Stroh and I entertained the audience for a little while.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Yeah, it's great. There's like two shows at once.
Just tremendous. Oh,
So I guess we lost Rat Boy, unfortunately. More fortunately.
Yeah.
Yay!
Oh. He's probably at the 7-Eleven getting his milk.
Probably. Okay. He probably closed at 11. That's why he had to pretend his mic wasn't working.
Okay.
That's exactly it, yes.
Spirit fingers.
Woo-hoo indeed.
Yeah. This has been a fun show. I got to say, right, I feel like the idea of, like, having everybody bring something to the table, it gave us stuff to talk about all night without me just rambling.
That's true.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun.
It's true. And we get good discussion from everybody. Like, it was enjoyable.
Yeah. I think we ought to do this more. I think we ought to do it every week.
I think we could do a weekly show with this.
Yes, I do, too. It's almost like it's more match itself.
Yeah.
Oh. All right.
You boys want to wrap this puppy up and put it under the tree?
Yeah, right. You have nothing to plug?
I had something to plug, but I don't.
Oh, I know what it was. Stroh, I'm going to do this before I get to you. So I sent Matt Grimm the thing earlier. I'm going to put it on the chat, and I'll send it to anybody who's interested. But I found on YouTube, it's Street Fighter 2. It's a battle in Street Fighter 2. But they edited it as if it's Raw's cameramen doing it. So they're zooming in and out, like somebody punches, and like they zoom in and they pull out real quick. It's like it's like all the stuff that causes the seizures, like they like to do on Raw, you know. It's and they add all logos and stuff. They do an instant replay with the spin kick, where like they shake it real fast, like like that. It's amazing. I definitely recommend people check it. I'm gonna put it on the chat
as soon as
we're done.
Oh my God.
With the show.
That's so cool.
Yeah, Rat Boy is trying to call back in, but we're done for tonight, I think. We'll get to him next week. Ray, you had nothing to plug, you said?
No, I got really nothing to plug. You boys wrap this up.
Yeah, all right, Stroh, what do you got going on, man?
Well, WCW Retro Thursday night, topic, the career of Ricky Steamboat, 9 p.m. Eastern Time,
BSW.com.
Friday night, Hard Sci-Fi Show, the Stroh Zone, on my Facebook page, facebook.com/StrohTheMaestro, midnight, Eastern Standard Time, and the feature will be Spider Baby, starring Long Chaney Jr.
Very cool. You know, I think the old Steamboat interview is in there in the blog talk interface. If you ever wanted to use part of it, feel free. I know it takes up large chunk of time. It's a long interview, so I don't know if you wanted to do that. I figured I should at least mention it, but yeah. But that sounds like an interesting discussion. If I can call in, I absolutely will.
Please do, anytime.
I'd love anybody,
you know.
Yeah. It's always a good time. So be sure to check that out. Check out all the other great stuff on VOCNation.com. Live and on-demand programming, great video content now, and just absolutely great podcasts as well. And be sure to check out tomorrow night live. We're going to have a new episode of Shelly Live at 50 Eastern. We're also going to have a new episode of Wrestling with History, and that's with Bill Abner and Ken Resnick, by the way. And we're also going to have Stadium Journeys returning as well. So be sure to check that out. Thursday, WCW Retro, HIAC Talk Radio. Lots of great stuff going on. Be sure to check it out. VOCNation.com. Thank you to all the callers. Every one of you guys, I enjoyed it so much. Thank you to Kathy. Thank you to Derek. I'm going out of order for some reason. Kathy, Stroh, Derek, Ray, Matt Grimm, You guys are all the best. Thank you so much. Best dancing crew I could ever ask for. Everybody, take care. Oh, ECWA. I'll be back in April with Night of Unusual Matches and ECWA in May with the Super 8 Tournament. Stay tuned. In the coming weeks, we're going to start talking more about that, and I can't be more excited. So be sure to check that out. All the other great stuff on VOCNation.com. Don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube to search VOC Nation. Everybody, take care. Have a great night. I love you all very much. We'll talk to you real soon. Bye-bye. Bye.